to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Mike Rumbolz, the president and CEO of Everi, on how we combine two diverse companies into one powerful gaming brand. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by Global Payment Gaming Solutions, a division of Global Payments, and enables the world's gaming entertainment leaders to create amazing consumer experiences and maximize spend across all of their physical and digital properties. To learn more, visit globalpaymentsgaming.com. When Everi joined together an up-and-coming slot company, Multimedia Games, and the industry's most powerful payment processor, Global Cash Access, it was a marriage of diverse companies and cultures. But it didn't work quite at the start. So board member Mike Rumbolz was brought in as president and CEO to fix the problems, and fix them he did. He's been able to create a powerful brand that spans the two technologies and develop cutting-edge products on both sides of the equation. The Financial Technologies division has upped its game and now processes billions of dollars in payments every month with great new products. On the slot side, new cabinets and content have created truly unique games that can be enjoyed on any platform. Rumbolz spoke with editor Frank Legato in August for the cover story of the October issue of GGB.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. We're here with Mike Rumbolz, who is president and CEO of Everi Holdings. Thank you for being on the podcast today.
No, thank you, Frank.
Your company is unique among suppliers in that you combine payment technology with traditional slot manufacturing. What are the advantages and competitive strengths that you've gotten through the combination of different supply sectors within one company?
Well, most of the significant advantages have been at the hardware level, because we've been able to share what we learned as a payments company. We've learned how to share that with our slot manufacturing people, which means that our interfaces to systems that were worked out years ago for our payment systems are now cleaner and much easier through our slot machine manufacturing. It also gives us the opportunity to address a customer in many more ways than just the slot floor. Mm-hmm. The gaming devices in and of themselves are drivers of revenue for the casinos, but none of that matters if you can't get cash into the hands of your customers. Mm-hmm. Marrying those two together and being able to speak to the entirety of the organization on the slot, on the casino floor, if you will, even the table game side, I think is a clear differentiator for us.
Okay. How extensively do you share the technology? Mm-hmm. It's all hardware, you said, right?
It's principally hardware. That will be changing as we move into the digital space with our transaction technology. Mm-hmm. Today, the bulk of the interchange between the two sides of our business has been around how do we address the casino systems in a company, how do we address their financial systems, how do we make sure that they're accounting both at the game level but also at the cage level, is something that is not just reliable, but it's also secure.
Okay. Your face is out there on the slot floor, but give us an overview of the payment processing business. We know it's an incredible amount of money that Everi processes each year, but can you give us a rough estimate of how extensive that is?
Yes. This year we anticipate providing over $26 billion to the casino industry across North America. That's up from last year, somewhere between $2 and $3 billion. Cash to the floor for the casino's customers. About two-thirds of that comes from ATM transactions. Mm-hmm. About 25% of that comes from either credit card or debit card transactions that are done on the floor. And then the remainder of that is our check warranty services. To many people's surprise, you'd find that there are still a large swath of Americans that prefer to deal in checks.
Checks.
Yeah, and we expect those are going to continue to dominate, at least for the next several years, as we drive that transition from traditional cash access over to a digital cash access environment.
Okay. Now, you're bringing some new kiosk products to G2E this year, CXC 5.0 and Versatile Exchange. Can you give us an idea of what these bring to the market?
Yeah, most of the features are going to be inside the kiosk and won't necessarily be readily available to the patron because they're going to have state-of-the-art security for payment card industry standards. But a few of the things they will notice, there'll be privacy glass so that someone can't stand to your right or left and lean in and look at you as you're putting in your PIN number. There's also a rear view camera so that as you're standing there taking money out of a device, I know many people get quite nervous that there may be somebody right behind them about to do something nefarious, and that rear facing camera we think is going to provide not just more security and safety, but also more peace of mind to the patrons that are out there. And we've changed somewhat the architecture and the look and feel. One of the things that we've been able to leverage out of our games business to our payments business is graphic interfaces and user interfaces and the use of graphics to make it a more compelling customer experience.
A more user-friendly.
Exactly.
And how large a portion of your business is dedicated to the ATM product specifically, and how do you distinguish your company within what is a very competitive market?
Right. ATMs are a very competitive market, and has been said to me by several casino executives, an ATM is an ATM is an ATM. And about two-thirds of our cash to the floor comes from ATMs. However, one of the things that we've been doing is making our ATMs more user-friendly. The user interface on our ATMs, I think, is easier, has a logical sequencing to it that makes it intuitive for a customer to be doing an ATM experience. We also believe that we provide the best-in-class ATM technology. So while a customer may not recognize it, a casino certainly does when it comes to protecting the assets and making sure that they that those assets are being properly surrounded by the kind of security that you would want to protect those assets with. In addition, there's a recent paymentsjournal.com article, Cash is Not Dead, and they reported that the amount of cash in circulation now is $1.6 trillion, and the Federal Reserve is predicting that's going to grow at least 4-6% year over year in the coming years. So in our view, ATMs are going to be around for a long time. They currently process and dispense about $10 trillion to the U.S. market on an annual basis. And so while we don't believe it's going to be supplanted anytime soon, our push in digital technology is one of the ways that we think it will ultimately get pushed out.
Plus, you've been in the casino market for years and years and
years. Years and years, absolutely. More than 20 now.
Okay, let's talk about mobile cash access. Cash Club Wallet, Cash Club Concierge, they offer mobile cash access. Are you encountering regulatory challenges in bringing this product to market?
Yeah, as we, let me separate them just for a moment. Cash Club Concierge is really an extension of the cage operations of a casino.
Okay.
And so taking cage operations to the casino floor, as long as it's a secure environment in the pit, we've not had much regulatory pushback. The regulators understand that. They understand the technology from where it existed in the cage originally. They don't seem to have much issue, at least that we've identified, about bringing that down to the casino floor. The wallet technology always has some degree of regulatory resistance, not the least of which is a lack of necessary understanding of what that product is, how it works, how it operates, how it protects the patron's cash, how it protects the casino's cash, and perhaps as importantly, how it protects the tax revenues for the jurisdiction that it's in. And so as we've gone through that, we so far have not really met any significant resistance at all to a digital wallet. We're in a pilot program right now with a major customer. We anticipate that once that's concluded, that we will start adding more and more customers to the e-wallet transaction line for us. And as we do that, I think more and more jurisdictions will look to their fellow jurisdictions and see what questions we've answered and how we've taken care of their concerns, rather than setting up additional concerns.
Now, if I'm a player who's set up a wallet, could you explain to me, does that give me the ability to access credit cards for cash advances, or is it more of a deposit and withdrawal method?
It it will start as the ability to bring cash to your mobile device through either an ACH transaction directly from your checking account or a debit card transaction from your checking account. We will ultimately have the ability to bring credit card transactions to your wallet as well. Once it comes to your wallet, then the placement into an operating system on a casino floor, the casino slot system, will allow you then to then fill your casino account with cash and then use that account for gambling purposes. It also will allow you to take it from the slot system back into the wallet application so that you can either leave it there or you can send it back to your debit card account. You can send it back to your checking account, or you can send it in the next phase actually back to your credit card account as well.
So it works kind of like Venmo.
It does, absolutely.
And I only bring this up because there are still jurisdictions out there that legislate how far from the casino floor an ATM can be. Delaware is one of them,
And Nevada is the only jurisdiction that has a law on the books that prohibits you from placing a credit card into a slot machine. And so you're absolutely correct. There are differences around the country in different jurisdictions as to how they handle the access to cash issue. Most of them around the question of whether or not it creates disordered gambling by the patron. But those questions are addressed not just by us, but also by our casino operators. And our operators, I think, have done a stellar job over the last decade of informing the regulators as to what they should really be focused on in terms of concerns about disordered gambling and the problems that that might create in their jurisdictions.
How close are we to having this available on casino floors?
It is currently available on one casino floor with one major customer. I anticipate by the end of the year that we will have 2 to 3 major casino customers that will be using our wallet application at if not all, certainly a good number of their casino operations.
Okay. Now, a lot of the slot manufacturers are entering interactive space. What role does Everi play right now in the mobile and the iGaming world?
I have to defer on that one. Global gaming business is invited to our first analyst day, which is in September in Chicago. And during our analyst day, we intend to, for the first time, unveil a variety of different projects that we have been working on very quietly for the last 2 years. And our approach and strategy in the iGaming space will be one of those.
Okay. Do you on the slot side? Let's move to the slot side because you kind of answered these other two. You continue to produce new hardware solutions: Empire MDX, Empire 5527. Do you feel there's now competitive pressure to continue to innovate on that in that space?
Yes, absolutely. There's no question. The modern casino floor has changed rather significantly from the days of row upon row upon row of spinning reel slot machines that looked very much the same, regardless of who the manufacturer was. Once video technology really took off in the gaming space, you started to see manufacturers differentiate not just the product and the product offering, but also the housing that that product sat in. And so form factor became extremely important. And you'll see some companies that will be literally surviving off a particular form factor. It will be it will be driving their quarterly results because that form factor is new and is a form factor that the casinos are truly looking for. And I would point you no further than the curved screen on casino floors today to provide evidence of that. Virtually everyone, although I'm proud to say Every has not bowed to that pressure yet, but virtually everyone has a curved, large curved screen that they're offering products on. So we're always innovating our form factors. We're always trying to get something that is both attractive to the ultimate patron of the casino, but also is a landscape on which our artists and our developers can develop newer and exciting kinds of games with different features, different functions, and machines and games on the machines that don't look like the games that were played 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And to do that, you really need to have the hardware form fit what you're trying to do on the screens that you're putting onto that form.
Right, because everybody's like just playing with the curves. They're bending them every which way.
Right.
So making them
and doubling them, double S.
So it's the content that's going to
content's going to drive it. And unfortunately for all of us, content has always been the driver. It has been it's been a race for the attention of the casino customer to get that patron attracted enough by the look of the game to come over and give it a trial.
Let's talk about the sponsor for this episode. You know, there are a lot of payment processing companies in this industry, but Global Payment Gaming Solutions is really special. This company is a division of Global Payments, one of the largest payment processors in the world, and it enables the world's gaming entertainment leaders to create amazing customer service and maximize spend across all of their physical and digital properties. The company's complete suite of payment solutions enables safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. And Global Payments analytics solutions enable clients to view performance across all of their gaming properties. So visit the company's website at globalpaymentgaming.com to learn more about its solutions for casino, debit, and credit cash advance, e-check, ATM, full-service TITO and payment kiosks, anti-money laundering compliance assistant, layered security, analytics, and much more. Now let's get back to our interview.
Okay. Now, speaking of slot suppliers expanding product lines, there seems to be at least a mini trend of suppliers going towards end-to-end solutions, coming up with electronic table games. Some of them have created live table game sections with side bets. Are there any plans to expand Every's game products into these new areas?
Yeah.
Not really new areas, but into
other areas. The areas that we're not in currently, yeah. A couple of things about that. One, I don't think you'll see Every getting into the live table games anytime soon. Many years ago, I put out a game called Double Down Stud. It was one of the first, if not the first, proprietary table game in the Nevada gaming industry. And while it did well, it immediately attracted competitors. And so now it is a very competitive universe to try and get onto a casino floor in the pit operations. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see us spending a lot of time and effort on that. What we've been doing the last couple of years is expanding Every's offering to a casino to make sure that we were speaking to each of the customer sets that are attracted into casinos. For example, we now have wide area progressives. The company never had that before. The company, in many respects, had a single form factor, the wide body. That wide body had a few differentiations. Occasionally it'd be a tall screen or a short screen. It might be in turn event mode, so it would have the tournament available on it. But they really didn't have any single screen video products. They had no tall products, as we do with the 5527, which is a very tall product. Their signage was virtually non-existent. Mm-hmm. They had signage for turn event, but other than that, they
great
had nothing.
Sign package you have.
Yeah. It's we're very proud of the way these are coming out now with sign packages with the underlying games. But we also needed to have, and we've always had Stepper, but I think Stepper was given less attention prior to the ownership of the company by Every. And as we've gone into it, we're now literally trying to make sure that we have something for every channel. We have something mm-hmm. for the low denom video game player mm-hmm. that is an entertainment style game. We have something for the high denom video game player that is a more of a gambler's game and something that appeals to people that are looking for that. We have something that appeals to gamblers looking for a large, very large jackpot so that they can have a life-changing experience in one press of a button or pull of a handle. We're now creating form factors like our, and we'll introduce this at G2E, different ways of showing the arena, which is a circular package. Last year we showed it with Shark Week. We're going to show additional ways that can be not just produced, but also can provide marketing departments with a distinct advantage. So as we have been growing, we've been focused really on the slot floor mm-hmm. and trying to make sure that the slot machine floor has something from us for everybody that's coming into a casino. Now, as we've done that, we really haven't paid a lot of attention to electronic table games, but we turned our attention to electronic table games about 5 months ago, and you should anticipate over the next 12 to 18 months that we will have come to a decision and probably introduced some electronic table games, or we will have declared ourselves out of that business.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate anything at G2E this year?
Not certain. We're certainly in discussions. For us, some of this is a question of organic growth or purchasing. Mm-hmm. And as we look at that and we look at our platforms and we look at what we can produce on our own, we think we're in pretty good shape if we choose to go that way. But we also know that there are electronic table game manufacturers that would love to find a home with a larger company.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about the specialty games, kind of the skill-based gaming, horse race games, things of that nature? Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of those types of Frogger. They've got Frogger mm-hmm. out now. You anticipate moving into any of those like new areas?
I think we'll move into, in fact we are.
We have skill-based.
Yes.
Yeah. Now.
We're looking at some. That would be, I think, clearly in the area you're speaking of, that would look more like a skill-based game that a player is accustomed to playing on their iPad.
Right.
Or at home on their computer. But
or arcade style.
Exactly. But what I think you'll see from us, rather than going down the path of trying to create something that's significantly more skill than it is luck, you'll see us bring elements mm-hmm. of skill into the environment, because in all honesty, the market for skill-based games hasn't proven itself to be there
right.
in any great amount. And while there's been tremendous discussion around the millennial generation becoming the next generation of slot machine players, I think we need to get through the Gen X players first and work our way toward them. And
right.
and as any of the operators will tell you, they try and focus on customers that have free time and that have discretionary incomes. And currently, millennials are building their careers, they're building their families, mm-hmm. And I don't know that they neatly fit into either of those areas. And so as we see more of them, we believe we will have games that will appeal to them. But we're not spending an extremely large amount of time trying to develop one today.
Well, Fruit Ninja is a blast. Is that yeah. one of the ones that you're?
That's part of our strategy. Is certainly as casinos believe that they have to provide something for the millennials. What we've said is we can offer you an absolute skill game, pure skill, mm-hmm. with no luck involved, and we can allow players to play against one another and see who is the more skillful. But we do it in a tournament environment or on our turn event machines. Mm-hmm. That allows the casino to take the machines out of revenue, which means it's out of regulation. And so theoretical win and some of the other things that we're accustomed to in the slot industry really don't impact how they play that Fruit Ninja game in a tournament mode, mm-hmm. which gives the marketing departments the opportunity also of addressing a generation that perhaps isn't in the casinos today. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any plans to move into systems, casino management systems in particular?
Not, we don't really. We We continue to enhance our ability to interface with systems. I don't see us offering a system. I think currently the market is saturated with enough systems, suppliers with enough differentiation, frankly, that almost any sized casino can find a systems manufacturer that can give them a solution to their floor. What we will be doing, though, is we will, for the first time, be marrying information that comes from those slot machine systems, that is information about the player, how they play, what their habits are, what their preferences are. We'll be marrying that with their cash access information, as well as their loyalty information. And when you start pulling all of that information together, you start, and if you apply any kind of predictive analytics to it, you start giving the casino a real tool to work with to help them better know their customer and make better offers to their customer through their marketing departments.
Okay, you mentioned tour and event. Let's get an update on this year's tournament. I imagine the preliminaries have been going on already for a
while. All through the year, absolutely.
And the final's going to be at XS again?
It is.
And okay, well, tell me what's new this year for tour and event.
There's one really new thing, but let me first say that we have about 104 casinos throughout North America that are participating, and as you said, that are holding their own tournaments right now to determine who their champion will be, that will get the all-expense paid trip to Las Vegas for them and their spouse. We anticipate about 166 players coming into the tournament this year, and for the first time, we're going to invite the players that have been selected by their property and their spouses or their traveling companions to come to G2E and play a Fruit Ninja tournament.
Wow.
And the winner of that Fruit Ninja tournament is going to be given a place at the Tournament of Champions at XS.
Now,
what's that? As if they had won an additional slot at the... which means that conceivably somebody who has not been a winner at a property but is a spouse of a winner could be in the tournament finals as well.
Well, that's good. Are you still going to have the celebrity charity?
We're not going to do celebrities this year. No, we think it's because it's geared really toward our customer, the casino's patrons.
Right.
We're going to have more of their patrons involved in the process this year.
That makes sense. Before I get to a question about a public company, I'd like to circle back to the wallet subject once.
Sure.
You were chairman of the Nevada Gaming Control Board. Do you feel this is going to be an uphill battle from a regulatory standpoint?
Well, I hate to be in the prediction business when it comes to regulation. I will say this, though. Initially, we found very little resistance to this. One of the reasons being that we are not offering and don't intend to offer anything that isn't already available to a patron on the casino floor. What we're offering them is to remove some of the friction of standing in line or having to move from one device to another to get completed on a transaction. We're trying to make it much easier for them. And we believe that as the casino industry starts looking at more and more sports wagering options, that a mobile wallet that stays within the ecosystem of the casino that owns that sports book, but also is already the casino of choice for the patron, that wallet becomes an easy way for those customers to then place sports wagers on the applications that are provided by the casinos. And allows really the casino to give that player a more fulsome experience around gaming, both at the property and away from the property. So far, the regulators have not been pushing back on it. We'll see as we push this out across the country. I have no doubt that there will be some jurisdictions that will want to take a different look or will be concerned about something that we haven't anticipated. But hopefully we'll be able to answer all their questions and get everybody comfortable with it.
Well, it would seem to me the opening up of the sports betting market, that's kind of an activity that really requires a mobile wallet and access
it
from a mobile phone, you know.
It really does. And most of their applications that we've seen so far in the states that have provided that opportunity for casinos are mobile. They're already on phones. or iPads. And if you're going to do that, then it seems, to me at least, to be extremely reasonable for that casino to offer also a method for that customer to place their wagers directly with a wallet associated with the casino.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's been 3 years since Everi became a public company. What have been the most important advantages of being a publicly traded company?
Well, it's actually, just so we can make this clear, it's 3 years since we've taken two public companies and made them one. So in that respect, Everi has only been as Everi public for the last 3 years. The important aspect of branding both the legacy multimedia games and the legacy Global Cash Access into a new name was really to let the industry understand that neither one of these is the old company mm-hmm. that they used to deal with, that it really is a new day, that we have a new ability to have synergies across the casino floor, and that we're going to be providing a new set of products that are going to address both the slot player but also how the slot player puts money into slot machines. And so the rebranding of the company, I think, was extremely important to make sure that the industry understood that we are completely different than either one of our predecessor companies. Mm-hmm. Now, being public, unfortunately, forces you into a short-term mentality on occasion mm-hmm. because you live quarter to quarter and you have to report everything. As a result, that means that you're always under the deadline to get your numbers, to get them accurate, to get them out. And to show that you're still a growing company, or that you're still producing products that are looked for by the industry, and so reporting that often, I think, can put a company into a short-term mentality. We've really resisted that here. Mm-hmm. We've tried to be longer-term and look at, what does the industry really want, and what will be useful for them, not just this year but into the future. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, of course, that a public company has that private companies lack is an access to capital. Mm-hmm. And so you can, you have a variety of different ways of obtaining additional capital if there's something that you feel is valuable for you to do for the customer. Then you can go out and find the necessary capital to get that accomplished don't have it yourself.
As you said, though, they were both the legacy companies had to deal with these issues in the past. In any event, right?
They did. They mm-hmm. did, and I would say at times, with respect to both of them, some of the management teams in each of the companies did better at some times and not so well at other times. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have them both under one company now.
And you're going to keep Austin the Austin facility as it is.
That's correct.
Tell me about the advantages of that. I mean, obviously, with the university there,
sure.
you have a steady stream of engineering talent.
Absolutely, Austin has become, in no uncertain terms, really an extension of Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. All of the giants that devour engineers on a daily basis, like Google, mm-hmm. like Apple. And companies that are in our space or adjacent verticals like Zynga, but also Scientific Games and others are all down there, both competing for the talent amongst themselves, but also competing for the talent that's coming from the university mm-hmm. because they have an extremely strong program. Now, for years, I think it was an advantage for multimedia to be the only gaming company in town, and therefore one of the more interesting companies to go to work for. Mm-hmm. And so that has changed. But at the end of the day, we will be in Austin because Austin's where we first developed our ability to address the Class 2 markets. We do it mm-hmm. extremely well. And those engineers reside in Austin. They like living in Austin. So I don't feel the need to drag them to Las Vegas or mm-hmm. force them to move. And we have people that have been with the company a very long time, both our company and the predecessor company. That have developed their own relationships in that marketplace, and so I wouldn't want to pull us out of that marketplace anytime soon.
Okay. One more question. Where do you see the company in 5 years?
To the extent that people speak about the Big Four, the Big Three, My intention is to be there, to be shoulder to shoulder with the largest players in the space. But probably more importantly, and you know, that's, I guess, one measure of success. More importantly, to me, it is to be the supplier that the casinos have to have. Mm-hmm. That we will be producing the products that casinos will look at as essential to running a modern casino floor. And while there may be, as there are today, some casino operators that, you know, that do things by hand and aren't automated and don't worry about the way the industry is moving because it can be more expensive for them, I would anticipate that any modern casino operator over the next 5 years is going to look at our product set and realize that they have to have a relationship with us and they have to have our products in order to operate in the industry.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being on the podcast today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the GGB Podcast brought to you by Global Payment Gaming Solutions. To learn more about the services provided by this company, visit globalpaymentsgaming.com. To read more about Everi and all the new games that will be displayed next month at G2E, pick up the October issue or visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on all of the news of the gaming industry, visit ggbnews.com. And to find the best bonuses and promotions for iGaming and how to attract new players to your legal iGaming site, visit igamingplayer.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. That's it for today. Hope to see you next week for the GGB Podcast.